How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned into the broadcast again this week, and we're picking up our study here in John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Here where the Lord Jesus has been crucified there on Golgotha, on Calvary's Hill. And the Roman soldiers that were given charge of this duty, four of them, with the centurion that is there, they divided the Lord's garments and they gambled for his coat. As the Lord Jesus is there hanging on the cross of Calvary, paying for his people's sins, thinking not of himself, but thinking of others completely, the Roman soldiers are there, gambling for the coat of the Lord Jesus while he gives himself a ransom for his people on the cross. What a testimony against us. What a wickedness at hand. And then verse number 25 of John chapter 19. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, this wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And so these were there, and they were standing near to the Lord. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, that is John referring to himself, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And then saith he unto his disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. And so here the Lord Jesus, being found in the midst of dying and being crucified there for the sake of his people, being lifted up as he had prophesied, he does not think about himself, but he thinks about that which the Father has given him to do, and he thinks about also about his mother and her care. Evidently, by this time, Joseph is dead, and he being the oldest, the responsibility of the care of his mother rests upon him. And here on his cross, here as he hangs upon the cross, there on the Golgotha's hill, paying the atonement for the sins of his people, the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb, the annual sacrifice, he is the answer to all these things, ceremonial and sacrificial, in the law of Moses given by God. He is the answer to them all. He is the fulfilling of them all. In the midst of that, he takes care of the future care and provision for his mother. He looks to John, he looks to his mother and says, Woman, behold thy son. He says, Consider me, I'm dying. Or he says to Mary, he says, looking at John, he is now your son. And then he says to the disciple, Behold thy mother. John, you are to care for her and to take care of her. You are to take her into your own home, into your own house. And John did so, and he was faithful in it. Verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Seven things were spoken by the Lord on the cross. 7 to 8 things were spoken by him there. And here in this passage, 3 of them are told to us. The Lord has paid the atonement. He's paid for the sins of his people. His blood has been shed, and somehow the Lord will take that blood from there on Golgotha's hill and take it and apply it to the mercy seat in heaven for the sins of his people. All it has been fulfilled except a couple things, and he says, I thirst. That the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, that is, vinegar of wine, vinegar that had re-fermented and, or wine that had re-fermented and turned into vinegar. And they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. And here it says in verse number 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he did drink it. He said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The only man upon the earth that had ever determined when he would die. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the God-man, God come down in the flesh, God having come down as a man, being 100% man, yet being 100% God, kept his body alive till all things were accomplished. All things were finished. And that the scripture might be fulfilled, he says, I thirst. And then he says, it is finished. And he bowed down his head and he gave up the ghost. You know, that's the kind of Savior that we need. We need a Savior that not only can wash away our sins and wash away our sins in his blood, but we need a Savior that is in control of life. No other God, no other prophet, no other man but the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason he said in previous chapters, he's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. We need one that is in control of life. We need one that is able, one that is has life in his hands. Even so, even for himself, he yielded up the ghost. He gave up the spirit. He said when it was time for his body to die. And he has promised the disciples in the scripture that even though he's dead, he's still in control. Even though he is dead, he is still in control. And what great assurance that is unto us. Sinner, will you believe? Will you trust in this one that has control and power of all life? Will you trust in this one who was innocent and gave himself for the guilty? Will you trust in this one that gave himself to be crucified, yielded himself over into the hands of wicked men, and they did that which they were predictable to do? They killed him. They put him to death because we are guilty. We are guilty and we hate the light in and of ourselves. Will you trust in this one? Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, that gave himself a ransom for sinners like you. Repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and yes, his resurrection. He's given up the ghost and he's given up his spirit. He's yielded up his spirit and his body has died. He's yet in control. And he will raise from the dead as he has prophesied. Verse 31, the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation for the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day. It was effectively Wednesday, not Friday, not Good Friday. There's no such thing as Good Friday. If the Lord Jesus was crucified on Friday and put in the grave by 6 p.m. on Friday, there's no way you get 3 days and three nights. And he said the prophecy that was contained in that which took place in Jonah, the sign of Jonah was the only sign given to that generation, and Jonah was in the whale's belly 3 days and three nights. And so Jesus Christ would be 3 days and three nights. If the Lord Jesus Christ was buried on Friday afternoon, there's absolutely no way you can get 3 days and three nights. But it was on Wednesday. It was on Wednesday by 6 p.m. that they had our Savior buried. And so in verse number 31, the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, and it's not talking about Saturday, the Sabbath of the last day of the week, but it was talking about it being a high day. It was the Passover day is what it was. Besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. They wanted them buried before the new day at 6 p.m. or at sunset. Then came the soldiers, verse 32, and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him, one on the left, one on the right. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already. They brake not his legs. Why is that? But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water, signifying that he was dead. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith what that he saith is true, that ye might believe. Now, a couple of things here. First is that the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was prophesied in the scriptures, that not a bone of his body would be broken, just like the Passover lamb. They were to dress it, and or they were to prepare it, and to evidently to skin it, but not to break one bone of the Passover lamb, and nor was one bone. The Lord was beaten, and he was bruised, and he was abused, but not one bone of him was broken, just like the Passover lamb. When the soldiers came to the first and to the second malefactor, they broke their legs because they were still alive. But Jesus, he determined when he would die, and he gave up the spirit, he gave up the ghost when it was time, and there was no necessity. The soldier knew he was died because he took his spear and put it into his side, and what came out of his body cavity? But water and blood. It had gone together as it does in death, and so they knew that he was dead by that witness. And then John writes, he says, I saw it, and I bear witness to it that it's true, and I've written it so you might believe. What is it? What's that all about? Verse 35, and he that saw it bear record, I give this testimony of it, and his record is true. It's a true record, and he knoweth that he saith true. So John says, I'm telling you the truth. The soldier stuck the spear in his side, and blood and water did run out. He was dead. I want you to know that he was dead, that you might believe. That you might believe in him, because we know retrospectively that the Lord is alive. He took his life back. He did raise from the dead. He said, I'm letting you know he did die. Not comatose, not swooned away, but he did die. I saw it, and it is true. Verse 36, for these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And so that scripture reiterated there, that the Lord's, not a bone of his body would be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And so that took place, and it will take place when the Lord Jesus comes again and returns to Jerusalem and sets his feet on the Mount of Olives, speaking of the Jews. But they looked on him. They saw him as they pierced him with that sword and with those nails, and the scripture was fulfilled. Sinner, will you receive it? Sinner, will you believe it? Oh, I pray that you will. The Lord Jesus, he died a terrible death. He submitted himself and yielded himself to the wicked hands, the hands of wicked sinners, that he might be killed. He might be crucified. He might be lifted up. The Jews did not follow that which was according to their law, that if one would be found guilty of death, that he should be stoned. But rather, he was turned over to the Romans, to the Roman government, to that which represents the greatness of man, and yet is found so terribly against God. The Roman government manifested man's way. It was man's way against the Lord's way. And the Lord Jesus is victorious in it. He came and won salvation for his people. He came and purchased salvation for sinners. Oh, sinner, won't you believe it? Won't you receive it? We point you to Jesus, and we pray that you'll repent of your sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in him for the salvation of your soul. Well, see, their time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.